Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody from coming from far and wide. I see we have some guests here from New York. Thank you for coming. Today's share, the Quicken Loans quandary. Ribbis from Jewish mortgage houses is actually a share which I picked up in New York. You know, around town here, I always get different suggestions for shiurim. I ended up in New York a few weeks ago recruiting, and I came to the house of one prospective parent, and ended up in the whole discussion with him, and he was heavily involved in this situation of Quicken Loans, which I'll soon get to. And no, this from nice person from Flatbush does not own Quicken Loans, but multiple Rabbanim that he's involved with are very involved in the Shaila. And he introduced me to the Shaila, and he sent me a lot of material, updates on it. It's quite a fascinating Shaila. I saw, you know, this Memorial Day weekend, I saw in multiple cities, they're having, like, you know, people all from work, they're having symposiums, shiurim for Memorial Day. And the topic is the Quicken Loans issue. So we're cutting edge right here in North Miami Beach, talking about the same big topic. And I think definitely, as Harvey said in the advertisement, this definitely will be an interesting share. Now, a little background on Quicken Loans. Quicken Loans today is the biggest mortgage lender online and the biggest or second biggest in general in America. When we talk the biggest, that means $100 billion worth of loans goes through their hands. Let that number sink in, $100 billion. A few years ago, they weren't doing so well, it was only 60. But over the past few years, they've grown even bigger. And they're at $100 billion. Now, that's a lot of loans. Really, the way Quicken Loans works, it seems, like many, they initiate a loan between a person who wants to buy a house, a shopping center, whatever, how big a real estate investment it's going into. They initiate a loan. And like many places, they go and then flip it to somebody else. So they are making money on the initial payments of the loan. But their chop is also their mortgage, their servicing company. Is that even when they flip it, they're the ones who are behind all the paperwork and all the collection of the loans. So they're not just involved in the initial loan, however long they keep it, but also they have a major stake, you know, in the servicing of it. That's how they make their money. And it seems like they're doing quite well. Quicken Loans is officially owned by an organization called Rock Holdings LLC. If you look up who owns Rock Holdings LLC, it's someone named Dan Gilbert. Individual lives in Michigan. He's quite well known because he puts out a paycheck every month to somebody named LeBron James. He's the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's a professional NBA basketball team. And they're actually playing conference finals now. Might be back again in the finals soon. Pretty successful NBA team. In fact, name of the arena in Cleveland is called the Quicken Loans Arena. His name is all over it. Now, this guy, Dan Gilbert, happens to be Jewish. So much so, a few years ago, he even hired an Israeli coach for the basketball team. Huh?
Verifiably Jewish,
yes. Now, that leads to a problem called ribbis. We're going to get into the basics of ribbis in a moment. But the most basic factor is you cannot take a loan from a Jewish person and pay them ribbis. That's an Isser in the Torah, Isser in the sea. And this issue has somewhat been around for a couple of years already. People got onto the fact that Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgages, all the same companies, are owned by Rock Holdings, owned by Dan Gilbert, and Dan Gilbert is Jewish. And for a few years already, there's been negotiations behind the scenes trying to get them to do what you call a Heter Iska, which that would allow loans to go through even between two Jews. We'll get into perhaps a little bit later what a Heter Iska is. But negotiations have been going on for a few years with it. And unfortunately, they fall apart. The lower echelons of the company were quite interested at some points in perhaps working on a Heter Iska. But the man on the top, Mr. Gilbert, nixed the deal. And so much so that the Rabbanim involved felt we have a big problem. We have, if they're one of the biggest, not the biggest mortgage houses around, and lots of Jews are doing money, doing business with them. So Jews are violating Yisur Deraisa. It's a big deal. So they decided at that point that they have to go public, A, to make people aware about it, and B, I'm sure they're probably thinking this will put a little more pressure on Quicken Loans. The actual story, this I heard straight from Rabbi Reisman. Originally, they were going to come out with a pretty strongly pictured ad. They're planning on putting an ad with a picture of a cheeseburger and a McDonald's. Whoa. Next to a Quicken Loan sign. Would you eat this? So how could you have this? In fact, there's probably more Yisurei Torah in ribbis than cheeseburgers. And that was the original thing they were going to go with, until people from the Michigan Jewish community contacted the Rabbanim and told them that Mr. Gilbert is quite a big contributor to Jewish causes here in Michigan. They decided to scale back. Exactly, this is all about money. It scaled back their attack, and they came out this Kol Kore, which many of you have on the Mar Makomos, came out just a couple months ago, Pesach time. They produced the Agudas Yisrael Conference of Synagogue Rabbanim, produced this Kol Kore, which is signed by the biggest poskim in America, signed by Rav David Feinstein, Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rav Moshe Heineman from the Star K of Baltimore, and Shlomo Miller, who is a big posek in Lakewood and Toronto, amongst other Rabbanim heavily involved in this. The Kol Kore states that Quicken Loans, it's probably easier to read the top in English, but you read the Psak Alacha on the bottom. Chevras Quicken Loans is written in the bottom. But the English on top talks about the fact that it's Quicken Loans is owned by a Jew, and it's a clear violation of Ribbis D'Oraisa. And it's forbidden, al pi halacha, for any Jewish person to take a loan from Quicken Loans without a valid Heter Iska. That's a big problem. So that's the background and the situation here with Quicken Loans. The basics, yes.
Sounds like in some instances they're just a servicer, where they're the middleman between the owner and the...
Some instances they end up being just a servicer. They always start, they're the ones giving the initial loan. So they're always starting, and we'll talk about that. Giving the initial loan right then and there is ribbis. If you're getting a loan from, as we'll get to soon, a Jewish person, So then that will be an issue of ribbis.
Are there any commissions involved?
I'm sure that there are a lot, always are commissions, different things.
I'm saying, so maybe it's like a low, what you're doing with it, and your officer and the owner.
So, okay, we'll go through the different things. But you're getting the loan. The money is coming from Mr. Dan Gilbert, from Quicken Loans, from Rock Holdings. So you're getting the money. He's not just a guy on the side, who's a mortgage broker. He's the owner of the company. So the money is coming from him. He's giving you the loan. The loan is between you and Quicken Loans. So that's a Jewish person with a Jewish person. It's stipulated ahead of time, which is ribbis katsutza, which makes it an absolute daraisa, which we'll get to. Yes?
The fact that if I need FHA back loan, did that change anything?
No. We'll get to that too soon.
What was his objection?
So, we'll, in general, I'll give a quick line to address that. Heter iskas are things which are not so simple. Because heter iskas involve risk. Basically, when you go from a regular loan to involving a heter iska, then the two parties, or really the party lending out the money, is assuming a certain degree of risk. So banks may not legally be even able to do this, but mortgage companies also, it's not something necessarily that they want to take upon themselves. They could lose. So why should they take a risk if they could just do loans?
But I thought that a heter iska was just designed to circumvent the idea of interest.
Yes and no.
Where does the component of risk come in?
Yes and no. So I'll have to touch on a little bit, get into heter iska. That I'm not sure if I want that to be the full focus of share today, but we'll
just
talk about it.
Component of risk.
Yeah.
What's a component of risk?
Basically, you're changing a loan into a business deal. Anytime you enter in a business deal, you understand they could lose your money. So a heter iska involves, if you made a situation where there'd be no risk, you've just undone the heter. The whole heter of a heter iska is it's becoming a business deal where there is a certain amount of risk. Nowadays, they write most heter iskas where you can't lose more than 50%. I'm lending 500 grand. Losing 50% of that is quite a loss.
It doesn't affect the collateral that the mortgagee is putting up their account. It doesn't take that out of the equation, does it?
So we'll talk. Hold on one second. So I first want to present the ribbis issues involved, and then we'll see what means potentially there are if someone does have a mortgage from Quicken Loans, what aces they potentially have to save themselves from problems. Take one more question before I'll get into the next phase.
Only apply to the Jewish customers as opposed to...
Right. A Gentile is no problem. They could do as much. A Jew with a Gentile or a Gentile with a Jew. Either way, those loans work.
So the percentage
no problems.
Is much smaller.
Yes.
Okay,
we'll see.
This guy's not Shomer Shabbos.
Not yet. Now, tune in. By the end of this year, we'll throw some interesting curveballs. So let's go over basic halakhos of ribbis. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it's on your sheets. Siman Kuf Samach. It's quite interesting. You find the halakhos of ribbis not in Choshen Mishpat, which is a normal place you find monetary dealings, but rather in Yeridea. And I remember the Mefarshim Hak about this question, why did the Mechaber place it over there? Some of them answer to emphasize the Isser involved. It's in Yeridea together with Basa B'Chalav and all the other classic Isserim that we have. So the title of the first Siman on Ribbis, the Beis Yosef wanted to get his point across, Godol Isser HaRibbis Vad Heichen Tzarech Lizar Mimeno. How big the Isser of Ribbis is and how careful people have to be with it. The Mechaber writes, Tzarech Lizar B'Ribbis, a person has to be very careful when it comes to the Isser Ribbis. The Kama Lavin Nemrubo, there are many Lavin in the Torah said about it. V'afilu ha'lov v'hanos no, even the lova, the person who lend the lova hanos no, the malva, person who gives the money, the arif, and the cosigners, the edim over him, and the edim are over it. The iser ribis is something. It's not just me, the borrower, who is paying the ribis, but the lender who's accepting the ribis is over on it. A cosigner, an arev, someone who's putting down collateral, backing up the sale, he's over the iser. The edim who signed the documents for a loan, the witnesses, they're over on it. And it's even worse. I found the shach for all your lawyers in the room. If you're a lawyer and you sign on this deal, you set up this deal, you also are over on it. Every party involved in setting up a loan with ribbis, if you're Jewish and you're involved in it, black and white, you have a problem. Yeah.
It's also, maybe the reason it's in your opinion, it's also important because it's, as opposed to all other moments, there's no way to agreement to do it doesn't make your head hurt.
Excellent. That's a good point. You're right. Even if both parties are most of the ribbis and a mind, I'll accept upon it. Right, it's an iser in the Torah, and it's not something you can be mochel on. You're right. Now that itself, he spells out. The Ramah adds, it doesn't make a difference. Bein chiluk bein amalva la'ani or la'asher. It doesn't matter, if you're an ani or an asher. Unfortunately, you could have situations. Guys that build big bal tzedakah, bal chesed. I want to help a poor person in our community up. I'll set him up with a loan. I'll get him a loan. He can't get a loan. I'll co-sign for him in this and get him a loan. If you get him a loan with Quicken Loans, it's a good kasha. It's probably a mitzvah baba there. There is, on the one hand, you're doing a mitzvah for him, that you're getting him money that he needs. He's an ani. On the other hand, you're also being over for him and for you on Isser Darais of Ribbis. The Ramah is adding that situation. There is, even if you have good intentions, even if you're doing it for an ani, unfortunately, if you set it up with a Jewish person and you're charging ribbis without a heter iska, so then you're going to be in trouble. You're setting up for an avera. Now, I must stress, the halachas of ribbis are halachas which exist in Shulchan Aruch. They're 100% Isurim in the Torah. Unfortunately, there probably isn't a major awareness of them. Someone told me a story. Rabbi Reisman, famous big rav in Flatbush, Rosh Yeshiva, years ago he wrote a complicated book for art school, The Laws of Ribbis. And, someone once came to him, he's like, Rabbi Reisman, are you the author of the book, The Laws of Rabbis? The guy never even heard the word ribbis in his life. He saw the book, The Laws of Rabbis, it must be. Like, unfortunately, ribbis is a concept. It's complicated halachas. It appears in Shas, in Perakei Zel Neshach, and Baba Metzia. Quite a complicated parak. Could be some people skip it. It's a complicated topic. Most of the time, even the early years of yeshivas, it's not usually a topic that's taught. It's quite complicated. Especially, younger talmidim, don't know finance, never took a mortgage in their life. So it's complicated stuff. Today, kolim are more involved in learning the halachos of ribbis. And there has been more than multiple institutions pushing hilchos kosher mishpat and ribbis and all these things, the knowledge of them. But in the general public, the halachos of ribbis are not so well known. The Chafetz Chaim started with Shmiras HaLashon. He never got to pushing the topic. I'm sure he did to some degree in Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim somewhere. But ribbis was not on the forefront of many people's minds, but it is a topic which needs to be addressed. It gets even worse. The Mechaber, I'm not sure I should even read these. but it's in Shulchan Aruch. So he writes, "Kol nozim beribis, nachasiv mismatim." So firstly, they give you a klala. If you do business with ribis, it doesn't help your business. Nachnasim mismatim. Your money goes down, hurts you. And then he has a stronger line: "Ki ilu kafir b'tzis mitzrayim l'kei Yisrael." Okay, whatever that means. Right? I assume, you know, that doesn't apply to most people that don't know much about the halachas of ribis. You know, we don't know them. So I doubt, you know, I wouldn't call the person a kofer. But definitely the idea that the person won't see a profit from it, if anything, it hurts your finances, is definitely important to know. Now, really, this is the background. Ribis is a bona fide. You know, there are some cases which are only ribis to rabbanon. But a classic case of a loan where you're stipulating the details beforehand, going through the paperwork, signing up on it, though most of those cases start off as ribis d'oraisa, which is a big problem. Now, let's address this issue. So far we're talking about this topic in terms of Quicken Loans. So if you have a mortgage with Quicken Loans, a friend of mine was hawking me, you know, a year ago that he has a loan for Quicken Loans. He heard some hawk about it. I called him last night. I'm like, you know, I'm giving a share in it tomorrow. You want to come? I don't see him here. But Lemaisa, it probably gets bigger than that and broader than that. We know there's something called Jews in the banking business. Right? Jews in the banking business. I didn't get that from protocols, but it seems empirical evidence. There are a lot of Jews involved in banking, finance. Why are we only talking about Quicken Loans? All the times. Now, you bring up the banks in Israel and different places. So many of these are involved with the Heter Iska. Especially in Israel, this is a topic that's made known to all the parties involved. And they're very involved in, the Heter Iska. Right, there could be there are some that don't. And, I'm sure they have less of a clientele from the front community. But Lemaisa, how do you ever know you're taking a loan? Better, you're depositing money into a bank. They're paying you interest. How do you know when these financial institutions, some aren't a lot of them have Jews involved? Why are we only talking about Quicken Loans? You know, till now you have a sigh of relief. You know, okay, my mortgage is not Quicken Loans. But why are we only talking about Quicken Loans? Why don't we talk about Wells Fargo, Chase, all these places? Some of their Jews involved. Shouldn't that be a problem?
They're publicly held companies. Is there any differentiation with the percentage of ownership? Not just 50%, but a controlling interest, even if it's historical.
So that's what I want to talk about first. So there's a very, very interesting piece by Shlomo Gansfried, author of the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Kitzer in Hilchos Ribis, Simon Samachay, writes the following. Start from the top. Ma'osav shel Yisrael mufkadim biyad goy, Jewish money that is entrusted to a Gentile, v'hilvosam Yisrael b'ribis. And then the Gentile goes and lends it out to a Jew for ribis. Im hayibach rayas agoy, if that money is entrusted to the Gentile that he has responsibility for it. To the degree that if he loses the money, the Gentile would have to pay. Mutter, it's 100% mutter. Right? That means a Jew invests his money in Chase Bank. Let's assume for now Chase is a Gentile owned company. They go and lend the money out to another Jew. So do I have to be worried that my Jewish money is being used for ribis with another Jew? The answer is absolutely not. Because since I entrusted my money to a Gentile company which took responsibility for my money, the bank takes responsibility, so therefore, that's considered a loan between a Jew and a Gentile. And therefore, there's no problem with ribbis. However, then ain't about is a guy also. But if really the guy is just a middleman, but really it's your money, it's your responsibility, it'll be also. Okay, welcome sheets, kfusas mos. Cases where there are collections of money. And I don't know these Yiddish phrases and what these concepts were back in the early 1800s. She is from Chalokin, Uksin, Manilos, I think, are shares in them. V'Yisrael lovim misham beribis. And Jews are lending them out for ribis. Even though the people in charge of it are Goyim, Makom Makom Nirali the Isser Gomerhu. Lachain Osir Leet in Lasham Mos. One can't deposit money into them. Lachain Osir Lilvos Misham. You also can't borrow money from there. The Kitzer Shulchan Aruch is writing right here, black and white, where you have a situation where a Jew has a share. Sheyesh Yisrael Chalokim Bahem. A Jew has a share in it. Zok, the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch of Gansfried, that is something you have to be worried about. Also, an Isser Ribbis. A Jewish share in a bank, in a financial institution, where you're depositing money into that bank, or taking a loan from that bank, the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch writes, that's usur.
That's a big problem.
That's a very big problem.
What, I mean, one share of stock.
Yeah?
Every bank in the United States of America has Jewish ownership.
So, the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch's idea, now in the 1800s when he wrote this, yeah, this is before Chase, you know, take the oldest banks in America. You know, I don't know what was going on there. But when Gottfried wrote this back in Europe, you know, banking didn't explode and get the proportions like it is today in America. And especially of a global world, everything interconnected. But with Gottfried writing, even if a Jew has a share, it's also. Now, right then and there, in his days, Rav Gottfried was heavily attacked. Rav Nathanson, who wrote the Sefer Shal Teshuvah Shol Meshev, attacked Rav Gottfried, said, no such thing, a Jew just owns a little bit, you know, if he owns one share, he owns, you know, 1%, 5%, I'm taking the loan from the other 95%, I'm not taking the loan from the Jew, I'm taking it from the guy, come on, what's the problem in this? And he attacked Rav Gottfried strongly, right? He says, Jews won't be able to borrow money from anybody. This is a big problem. He's obviously looking to find the heter. In fact, he even pleaded with Rav Gottfried, change the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Reprint your sefer and take this line out. Inside the tshuva, he pleads with him to do it. What's quite interesting is Rav Gottfried stood his ground, fought back that 100% he thinks his position is correct. Really, the argument of Breira that, you know, okay, I'm borrowing another 95%, says it wouldn't apply by an Issa Deraisa. And you can't do that. In my son for his bar mitzvah happened to get a set of art school Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. So I looked inside there. In the back of the art school's edition, you know, I went through the yeshiva here. Yeshiva must have 5 different editions of Kitzer Shulchan Aruch. Interesting, you know, Kitzer is an important sefer. And there's been many editions printed, I guess, over the last 150 years. There's different editions of it. In some of them, Gottfried himself wrote responses, gilyonos, on additions to what he originally wrote. So he has one piece dedicated to this fight with the Shas Tshuva Shol Meshev. And that's where he defends himself and sticks his guns to his position that I hold as an Isser here. And Artsko published in the back of their Kitzer Shulchan Aruch, all these, they don't have an English translation, but in Hebrew, they publish all these Gizalionos of the Shulchan Aruch. The only edition I was able to find it in. So kudos to them. But Rav Ganzfried does stick to his opinion that it's also, but many poskim write clearly that you would not say if you just own a 5% share, you just own a small share, there is no problem of ribbis. Most poskim say that. There's some Maharam Shik, multiple poskim. Fact I found, and that I have on your sheets, in Rav Sternbach, Moshe Sternbach, who currently is involved in the Eidel Charedus, chief rabbanim there, the Bezin Eidel Charedus, writes you 100% could be makel and take any loan from a Jewish institution, of a bank institution, even if there is a minor share of a Jew, and he backs it. I could not find this in print. In fact, anyone I found quoting this quoted Sternbach for it. But there's some letter from Rasul Salanter. Rasul Salanter was a Gadol Hadar, not just in Musar, but in Torah, Pesach, Halacha, everything. Rasul Salanter said, you do not have to worry about the minority share of, but maybe there's a Jew involved in a company, because you're allowed to go Basar Rov. You're allowed to go, look, the odds are, there's no such thing, there's a rove of people in the banking industry are Jewish. No such thing. Right? When you have a shayla, anytime you go bus a rove, so majority of the people involved obviously are Gentiles. And therefore, if you're not sure, you have a banking institution, you don't know anything else, so you know what? You could assume it's a Gentile owned because you go bus a rove. Majority of the people must be assumingly Jewish. If you have a situation where you know it's clear Dan Gilbert owns 77% of Quicken Loans, you have a problem. But in a situation where see no evil, hear no evil, I don't know that Wells Fargo has some Jew who's behind it in this. You could be so much on a rove that it's not a Jew, and you could put your money into the bank, take a loan from them, everything is fine. The problem is in a situation where you know it's a Jewish-owned bank, right? Moshe's bank in Williamsburg, right? If there's no Heter Isker involved, buddy, you have a problem.
Doesn't Moshe say that to create a Jewish bank, a corporation?
Oh, that's going to be next phase. Hold on one second. One more step before I get to that next point is if Sternbruch himself brings up, okay, so Rav Ganfried said there's an Isser involved even if there's a minority share of a Jew. But many poskim, chief amongst them, Rasul Salanter, is reported to have written that you don't have to worry about that, Rishomachon Rov, everything's fine. But Rav Sternberg brings up, especially for his Badatz, Eda Charedis community, but look, maybe you should be Machmer. Maybe you should be Machmer. Look, you have people, let's say, milk falls into your chalent. So, of course, it's bittul barov, bittul b'shishim, but I don't know, maybe you want to take on a chumra. I know there's something in there. Maybe I should be machmer. There are certain situations, people, there are heterim, bittuls, but maybe it should be machmer. So, Rav Sternbach, Yotzi from all the Machmir, sometimes have crazy ideas too. But Rav Sternbach said there's absolutely no reason to be Machmir. When would we say sometimes a Pesach is where you have something which is Vadai Isser, which I utilized a rove to undo it? Right? That little bit of milk that falls in each arm is potentially a problem, but I utilize rove to undo it. Here, it's a suffix to begin with. We don't know that a Jew is involved in this loan. We don't know that a Jew is involved in this financial institution. So if we don't know from the beginning that a Jew is involved, so then, of course, you're allowed 100% rely on a rove. There's no Jews involved. Take your loan and be happy and go to sleep at night. I mean, you may not sleep because you're worried about how to pay back the loan, but you don't have to be able to sleep. You don't have to worry about the issue, the compounded problem of ribbis.
Is that even in Israel itself?
So again, I'm not a bucky in all the banks of Israel, but you know, when you know you're doing business with a Jew, right? Why are we talking big banks? We'll talk small loans, right? You need a few $1,000, and you go to somebody else, you know, from Jew. You say, okay, I'll do it to you, but with, you know, ribbis. You have to make sure there's a heter and iska involved. Anytime you know you're involving another Jew in a loan, for sure, that's your due diligence. You have to look into it that there should be a heter iska involved. And really what that means a lot of times, you have to involve Rabbanim because these things are complicated. And, you know, we're asking a regular echad what a heter iska is. It's quite complicated. Quite complicated. So, it means, you know, you have to go to the rabbis, not just with your chickens, but also with your loans. It's an important topic. Yes?
I just want to clarify. I want to make sure that I'm understanding. At this point, we're essentially saying, though, that, are we saying that if it is a major, there's a few different scenarios, but let's just say your case, 51% of the business is owned by a single controlling Jew. That would certainly be us at this point, right? Everybody would agree that. And what about if it's
the one hot?
51% of the Jews where nobody's controlling.
That's Tom, in general, in Hochul's Rove, you know, you can have debates. There's 51, the same type of Rove at 77%.
Okay, whatever, but it's...
But if there's a majority-owned Jew, that's...
Rousseau Salanter is only addressing the issue...
Of a small share.
Of the suffix, even if you want to say, not like Rav Ganzwei, that it's mutter, that L'chor, he's basing that on the assumption that it's only mutter because it's not mostly Jewish. If it would be mostly Jewish, so then you have a problem. How do I know? Maybe it's mostly Jewish. And the Torah says I have a right to assume that Wells Fargo was not mostly Jewish. But if
right.
I didn't have that right...
Now, also some of these things are not easy to look into. And there is also, if it's easy for you to find out.
But if it was, then it would be
right. In fact, I'll tell you, really what pushed the Rabbanim, I left this point out before in my introduction, really pushed the Rabbanim to go public, initial Kol Kore, is, well, this I left out. Quicken Loans gave out misinformation. Or,
so
as they say,
it.
Fake news. Quicken Loans told people they do not need it. You don't need it to worry about a heter iska. They publish this on their websites. They probably could be sued for issues. You don't need a heter iska because they're not owned by a Jewish company, owned by Rock Holdings. But on further this, they gave out, there's lots, people who called up Quicken Loans got 100 different answers. And it was quite, we have your loan, we don't have your loan, this and that. There's a lot of monkey business involved. And that's what really pushed the Rabbanim, okay, we have to go public on this. We have to set the record straight. You know, it's a clear-cut situation. We know who owns Quicken Loans. We know that, therefore, there's, you know, we're the interpreters of halacha, not somebody in the bank. And we say that's 100% also.
Quicken Loans are
responsible? We'll get to that.
But their position...
Tune in.
Their position was, since it's a corporation...
Oh, so that's the next part I'm about to deal with, corporations. Yes.
Is there such a thing as a rove like an Eretz Yisrael? If you know, it's, let's say if it's known that almost all banks use a heter iska.
Very good question.
Rove,
can you assume kashrus? I know rove restaurants have kashrus certification. Rabbi Berger, would you be, you know, confident with that? No. Right? Seemingly not. Now, quite a few of you have brought up this idea about corporations. Now, we know in American law, if you're a corporation, that's different than an individually owned entity. Corporation, right? Donald Trump, our president, has utilized that quite a bit, right? You could declare bankruptcy. That doesn't affect me. It affects the corporation, right? There's something other than me. My business is larger than me. It's a separate owned entity called a corporation. Does such a svara exist in halacha? So the person behind such a svara like that existing in halacha is none other than Rav Moshe Feinstein. If you look in the back of your sheets, Rav Moshe Feinstein understood finance quite well, and he got involved. People were asking him shailas about banking, So if you look, I'll read you the first few lines of the in the first column, that big paragraph. Avohine ani amarti. This is Ramosha Yerodechel Bey Simon Samach Gimel. He also has a similar type idea in Evan Azar Simon Zion. He says, Avohine ani amarti chidish bin Isaribis. I would like to say a chiddush. Moshe acknowledges this as a chiddush. V'ledaiti bara ledino, but it's clear to me even then. And he goes through, most people put it, their money in banks, and banks, you know, have many shares, and you could have Jews involved. He goes on to establish and make the following statement, that a bank, that a corporation is not an individual, and that will not be a problem of ribbis. That means, even though it involves a Jew, we're not even talking about minority shareholders, right? Even a situation where the majority shareholder is a Jew, but where it's a corporation, that's not a problem. But Moshe does make that statement. But I must add, there's a very, 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 very important caveat, more than caveat, clarification of that statement. I was discussing this with somebody before the share, and he's like, oh, isn't there a heter for corporations? Corporations, there's a heter. That's a tremendous misspeaking. Rav Moshe's heter is a one-way street. It only works in the following scenario. If I'm depositing my money in a bank or giving my money for someone to invest and they're paying me back with interest, if the person I'm giving my money to invest or it's my money in the bank, if they are an LLC, if they're a corporation, in that scenario, and only in that scenario, does Rav Moshe say there's a heter of a corporation and there's no problem with ribbis. So if I get money back from the bank, I get money back from my investment, that would not be a problem of ribbis coming from a corporation according to Rav Moshe. However, the reverse, what we're talking about today, mortgages, where I'm taking out a loan, ribbis is on the other side of the equation. I'm the one paying the ribbis. In that situation, Rav Moshe, black and white, says no heter. Clarify that again. Explain you the reasoning. If I'm the beneficiary, if I'm benefiting from ribbis because I put my money in a corporation, then Rav Moshe says that's not a problem because the corporation's not an individual. It's not viewed as a Jew-to-Jew loan where I'm getting ribbis. No. Corporation's not individual in that direction. But where I am receiving the money, I'm the one paying the ribbis. In such a case, Rav Moshe says 100% that's ribbis. So Rav Moshe's heter just off the bat would not apply to mortgages when I take out a mortgage.
What's the mechanics behind that?
So I will tell you. And it's right here, Beferish and Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says like this. How do you understand the nature of a loan? A loan, by definition, is what he calls a shibud haguf. You are... No good English word for shibud. But you are guaranteeing your life when you take a loan. Meaning, Rav Moshe goes through many gemaras, many ideas. You know, let's say a person, you know, chas v'shalom dies. Right? There could be, so what? There's a shibud many times in his nechasim to pay back the loan. Even in a situation, in Noval Peh, there is no shibud aguf. The gemara talks about mitzvah on the children to pay back the loans of their father. My father was meshabedit. He can't come and collect any money from me. You have no right, you have no lien on my property. But it's something hanging over you because you're meshabed your guf. I put myself on the line. You don't want to be a lova rasha v'lo yishalim. When you take money for a loan, you're putting your name, yourself, everything on the line. Rav Moshe calls it a shibud haguf. This is me. I'm giving you my word. I'm going to pay back this loan. So that type of shibud haguf, zakt Rav Moshe, a loan is by an individual, is by a person. That you could come to me and take my shirt and take my house because I'm shabbing myself for that loan. As opposed to a corporation in America, if you set up a corporation, I have no liability. My business might lose its shirt, but I have my golden parachute. I'm going to be comfortable for years. I might need to flee to a desert island, or Switzerland, or whatever. But I'm going to be okay. Zakt Rav Moshe, then that's not a loan. That's not a shibud haguf. A loan, by its very definition, Rav Moshe says, requires you to have a shibud haguf. So if the person borrowing the money personally borrows it, that's a loan. That's a shibud haguf. That would be ribbis. But if a corporation is the one borrowing the money, if the corporation is the one paying out the ribbis, so you as a corporation, there's no shibud haguf. And in that situation, that wouldn't be ribbis. That's Rav Moshe's chiddush. But therefore, come full circle to here, that would not apply by a mortgage. Because by a mortgage, there, the issue is, I'm the one taking the money. So if I'm the one taking the money, I'm the one who's meshabed my guf. If I, the individual, am meshabed my guf, okay, then that's ribbis. That's a loan. And that's a problem.
People buy properties through an LLC.
Right. Oh.
Because technically, this would absolve any issue of one business using quite a lot. Right? If you're a Jewish business with an LLC, no problem taking the mortgage through.
Seemingly, according to the way I explained it, I think you're right. Right? And there is, to be a loan, it has to be a personal shibud haguf. But if it's not a personal shibud haguf, if it is a institution taking it, you're right, and that wouldn't be what we view as a loan with ribbis, and you might be okay with that. Yes?
If the person guarantees a loan of the company, then they have the same problem you get both.
If the person...
The equipment loans gives a loan to a corporation or an LLC or some other entity.
But
the one of the owners who personally signs for it, now he's got a problem.
Very good point. And there is... You're right, and there is... When you define all these transactions are quite, you know, you have to know what's going on there, right? Zach was bringing it up. It could be a situation where it looks like it's two businesses, two corporations doing it, but if really one person is going to be the one taking the responsibility for it, then what is that? Is that L'chara does have a shibud haguf? If it has a shibud haguf, then it is a loan. And if it's a loan, then it is ribbis. So these things are quite complicated. Many times these financial, you know, that's why you have many layers of lawyers involved. These things are not transparent. They're not so clear. And
as of May 1st, they said that they're going to try and work it out.
I'll get there. Hold on.
Is it because you're going bankrupt?
Huh? My information is more updated than Google. Yeah. I'm serious. Yeah?
Is it because they can go bankrupt? Is that part of it?
Yeah, that's part. And there was the whole payment of the loan. I mean, Rav Moshe's idea is brilliant. He really gets to what he understands the nature of a loan. That a loan is a shibud haguf, which means I'm a shibud to pay that back. And even if I don't have the money, you go to my nechasim, go to my kids, you get that. a corporation could declare bankruptcy, and if there's no money left in the corporation, the owners of the corporation go scot-free.
You get a situation where there's a personal guarantee, but even still, if they go bankrupt, he's not responsible.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing, right?
I'm not sure. You have to go through all these different, you know, what these, you know, how you're not responsible. You know, if it's really a loan, so it's not really a loan, the guy's giving you money at tzedakah.
You may not be responsible according to
right.
American law, but it's still may be according to Torah.
Right. Now, this idea of Ramosha and corporations, for the record, many people dispute it, many posts dispute it, amongst them are Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Dine Weiss, Menachas Yitzchak, multiple people dispute it, so much so, one of our articles, newfangled Business Halacha books, what's it called? Business Halacha, actually titled. They read this Ramosha and they say, I don't know, ask your rabbi, I don't know if you can really rely on this Ramosha. Now, for the record, you know, Rabbi Reisman wrote it over much better. He's like, Ramosha Feinstein, you could be so mechan. He does write that. I also checked, I found Rav Baruch Moskowitz, quoted him a couple weeks ago, quotes from David Feinstein that his father 100% held of this heter. And was able to ward off most of the questions that people asked on him, on his psak. And even there was one question Rav Dov Feinstein didn't know the answer to, but he said, my father still said it, they could rely on it. So Ramosha's heter does exist, you know, and Ramosha held by it. But again, for our shiloh, which we began with, where you as an individual are taking a mortgage, you're buying your house, you're over here in Florida, your boat, whatever it is, you're going to have issues, and Ramosha doesn't help you. A corporation doesn't help you. It doesn't work in that direction. So now what? So Pasha Pshat, we have a problem. Going through all the situations, here we have a majority owner. There's no way you can finagle out Pickle Barov. I'm taking a mortgage. I'm the one Meshabed my goof. You have no heter of corporation from Ramosha. So what you have, if you took a loan from Quicken Loans, is 100% ribis d'oraisa, a real significant problem. So what do you do? So first and foremost, first thing you have to do is tshuva. Any moment you had involved in a loan, you paid out ribis, that's an isser. And what's done is done. You have to do tshuva. But unless you finish paying off your mortgage, you're going to continue doing an avera every time you pay out your ribbis. So it's not just a problem in the past, it's also going to be a problem in the future. It's a big problem. So let me go through one other layer of scenarios. As we all know, most of the time when you take a loan from a bank, many times they flip your mortgage. We talked about that, in fact. Quicken Loans, you might call them up and they say, no, we love keeping your loan in the family. We don't flip it. But most places do. And you can probably even check it. Every loan has a number. And you could go check up with Fannie and Freddie Mae. Check your loan number. Do they have a loan that matches that? And you can see, you know, did your loan get flipped or not? If your loan got flipped and you no longer are by Quicken Loans, so if now the new banking institution that owns your loan is a Gentile, which Fannie and Freddie both are. Even though Fannie's a Jewish name, but she ain't Jewish. So many posts can say at that point you're okay. If right now your loan is flipped to a Gentile bank, you're okay. That's what most posts can say. However, there is a Nesivas HaMishpat, Chavas Das, which says that doesn't solve your problem. Because even though now your loan is with a Gentile company, we don't focus on the right now. By the ribbis, it goes by how the loan was originally set up. So if the loan was originally set up with a Jew, even if later you're making your payments, which are practically going to a Gentile, that's still a problem. And therefore, you'd have to look for an additional etzah. Now, what Rabbanim are telling people who have loans of Quicken Loans at the moment is try to see what you could do to refinance. Try to refinance and go with the Gentile bank. This way, whatever was done in the past, unfortunately, was done. But for the future, at least you're not paying with that. Now, obviously, that costs money. It's not simple. But the halacha of ribis, like any other law in the Torah, a person would have to spend money not to be over an isser. Now, what the Rabbanim are working on, which was a statement over there, is the following. Quite interesting. And this is quite amazing. So the Rabbanim had talks with Quicken Loans for quite a while. And the talks finally broke off. That's when they decided to go public. And they put an ad in the Yated Ne'eman and probably the Jewish Press and probably the Hamodiah and Mishpacha magazine that we have a problem with Quicken Loans. You can't make this stuff up. In 48 hours after those kokoris were published, Quicken Loan came back on their knees begging the Rabbanim, please, let's work something out. And in fact, they even issued a statement signed by Dan Gilbert himself that we are heavily invested in looking into finding a resolution for the Orthodox Jewish community. Now, if that isn't a nace, I don't know what it is. One of the guys in Yeshiva, I told the story over in Yeshiva, I pointed out, Rebbe, they're doing $100 billion worth of loans. What do they care about the segment of the Orthodox community that knows about this isser and that's going to, you know, not do business with Quicken Loans? They're doing $100 billion a year. Right? What do they care? So the Eibushter has Rachmanis on us. Right? It doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense. Why in the world will Quicken Loans care that there's an ad in the Yated or the Hamodiah or the Jewish Press about a Kol Kore?
You can say the same thing with
Kashrus. No, okay, yeah, maybe. But we have to realize the Chesed Hashem, Lev Malachim B'Yad Hashem, Lev CEOs B'Yad Hashem. Dan Gilbert might be on his way to Tshuva, becoming a Baal Tshuva. This is amazing. Right? Maybe the Cavaliers are going to win too. Who knows? But Lamaisa, they are heavily working to get ahead to Iska. As of Thursday night, 1 a.m., I checked with parties involved who have... He told me there's no deal. He was excited 2 weeks ago. He thought there was going to be a deal any day. As of Thursday night, 1 a.m., there's no deal. But hopefully, yes, there will be something worked out. If there would be a Heter Iska that would help people, and it might mean that people would have to refinance, but we'll click the loans, but that itself is a whole big topic.
What if it's the other way around and you originate the loan with a bank that's legit and then it gets flipped to Quicken Loans?
Great question. My wife asked me that one last night.
Don't investigate. They don't have a problem, right?
No. Great question.
Don't ask, don't tell.
So... that might only be a problem according to the Nesivas.
Might
only be a problem according to the Nesivas. No, it might reverse the other way. It might work according to everybody who argues with the Nesivas. They would say, no, it would be problem. No, only the Nesivas, right. Only the Nesivas might be a problem. But these things are quite complicated. So what do we get out of here? We get out of here that when you invest your money, you have to know what you're doing on two fronts. Just like you would, when you invest your money, you do your due diligence looking into your deal. What I'm bringing to the fore is you also have to do your due diligence, who you're getting your money from. And if you got your money for Quicken Loans, you might have tzaras together with your money. Thank you very much.